Welcome to Teaching Restored, your weekly teacher council meeting where we talk about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard. I am a little bit more emotional than normal.
Are you now?
Because I have a kid who is headed to college. My oldest is going to college, my oldest baby. And in that vein, there was something that I heard this week that I really loved, and it's kind of caused me, you know how it is, you're a little reflective sometimes when a transition like this is happening.
Yeah.
And as I've been reflecting, I've reflected a little bit on how I've taught my son, right? Mm-hmm. How Todd and I have taught him as parents. And I've thought about the people that will now be teaching him. And that includes university professors. It also includes peers. It includes, you know, at the YSA ward, you know, lots of different people, new bishops, new EQP, all the things. And I've thought a little bit about what I want that to look like. And I've thought also about how we as parents teach differently in that capacity than we might in a classroom, for example.
Right.
And so I was listening to, it was Philip Allred, and he was talking on the Why Religion podcast series about being a different kind of teacher. And this really, really struck me, and perhaps because of the context I've just given you. He talked about being a father figure, or in my case, a mother figure. Teacher. And at first I was like, what? Why would you say that? That's weird. You don't want to be a father figure teacher. And then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I kind of listened a little bit more to what he was saying. And I want us to talk a little bit about what it means to be like a father figure or a mother figure teacher. Like, what would we change if we tried to take on a more fatherly or motherly role in our teaching? So at first glance, that sounds a little bit odd. Let me explain what I mean, and then we're going to kind of break it down.
Because I assume you're not talking about, you know, more spanking and more, you go to your room, young man, kind of stuff.
No, that's exactly what I mean.
Okay, never mind.
No, it has nothing to do, actually. Does it have anything to do with discipline? Maybe it does. Okay, so let's talk about what it has to do with.
Okay.
So think about, just put yourself in the role of being a parent. You have a lot of children. I have less, but any children is children. And if you don't have children of your own, you have children that you are around and that you mother or father in different capacities as an aunt, an uncle, a teacher, a primary teacher, a Sunday school teacher, whatever. So as a parent, you really, 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 like more than as a teacher, you want your kids to learn things from you, right? You want them to hear what you have to say.
Sure.
But what else, like what is that higher aspiration for your kids beyond just listening to you that you have for them as your children?
Maybe this is too high, but I want them to be better than me.
Duh, not too high. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, right.
So you want them to become, I mean, not even just better than you, but the very best version of themselves that they possibly can, right?
Yes.
You have no sense of feeling threatened by your children and their growth. No. You have no any of that. You just want, in every sense of the word, what is best for them, which is a higher aspiration than I want them to learn something in my class. Okay.
Right.
So note to self, you have desires that they come to know things for themselves, like in the wisdom way, right?
Have those experiences and they get to understand it on their own. Yes.
Versus what? What would the contrast be if you're just in a teaching role?
That we and it becomes more intellectual because you've just told them.
Yeah. Like more than just learning the information and telling them the information, you actually really deeply desire that they have an experience with what it is that you're telling them in the wisdom way. You want them to internalize the things that you've taught, like actually practice, make it part of what they are. And I think that part of it is that, like, think about what you want for them. Like, I've never once thought that my success as a parent is part of the equation. Like, that meaning that how other people perceive Liam is a reflection on how successful I am.
Sure.
As a parent. Like, that's just, you just don't think about that. And I think that sometimes in our teaching roles, we sometimes want to be a successful teacher. And we define that in a variety of different ways. We want people to like us. We want people to, you know, feel like we're smart. We want to, you know, all these different things. And our success as a teacher is a consideration sometimes, sad to say, but sometimes. But I don't think that we actually, as we're really investing in our kids, are thinking about ourselves being successful. We're thinking about them being successful and whatever it takes to make them, help them become successful, right? We can't make them be successful.
Agreed.
So it is less about how things look on the outside, and it is so much about the relationship that you have with them. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. Hmm. So in that role as a parent, you do things quite a bit different than you do as a teacher. And I thought, oh, that's kind of an odd thing to say. But when I started to kind of extrapolate what that looks like, what do you do differently in the teaching of your children than in the teaching that you do like in a classroom setting? What are some of, can you think of the differences? I realize that I might not be articulating this question in a super great way.
No, I think this is good. One of the very first thing that came to mind was I would say a lot more patient with my children. And then I thought, well, why is that? And then it came to my head that I only have an hour in the classroom and I've got to get some things into their heads, right? And so there's a time constraint in it where with my kids, we can take our time.
Yeah.
And
it's less about efficiency.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's more about quality of time, and it's more about, and it's more casual, I would say, than being very formal and making sure that everything was right and that people said the right thing or whatever. It's and it happens more organically at the same time, I would think. And I'm not as uptight about it because, you know, I don't go in, hey, you know, me and one of my boys have a discussion and it's a good discussion. I don't go into it thinking, okay, they've got to learn this. Well, sometimes I do, but most often it's not, you got to learn this and I got to make sure that you come out with this understanding and I only have so much time. It's, you know what, if I'd love for them to understand this, maybe it's not just me talking. Maybe we need to set up an experience that they can go through where they will learn, where they will learn that. And it's less about me talking at them than it is experiencing with them. Although sometimes it does turn into us talking, you know, as parents talking at them, right? That does happen. Mm-hmm. That happens as well. Mm-hmm. So there are a few things to throw at you.
I love what you just said about specifically the quality of the time versus the efficiency, and that you work hard to set up experiences that you have with them. Like, not just, you know, go do this, but that you stay involved in some of the experiences, right?
Yeah.
That, like, you walk the path with them a little bit. You're willing to do some of that. I am a little bit of a different personality than you are. And sometimes I do go into a conversation. I'm like, I got to make this point. I got to make sure I teach Liam this. I got to make sure I do this. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Liam probably perceives me as a lecturer more than he perceives Todd like that. Like,
gotcha.
Todd's best teaching time has come when he is, you know, doing a Via Ferrata in the Dolomites with him. Like, right. They went and did this huge trip that was just epic.
Amazing.
And then right. The other day, Todd's like, I need to go hike Mount Adams with Liam. And I'm like, what? And the conversations that they had on that hike, and I'm like, why don't I do more of that? You know what I mean? Like, go yeah. and take the time to experience something with them. Well, we don't always have that luxury in the classroom, but I think right. we have more opportunities for things like that than we realize. Like, I think we sometimes limit ourselves when we think about our role as a teacher to just what happens in that 1 hour of Sunday school time. And then we kind of forget about them for the rest of the week.
Right.
You know, versus trying to actually create experiences that can happen during the week that we can continually interact. Like, you text your friends all day. Well, why aren't some of the people in your class your friends that you're texting regularly and engaging in, you know, conversation with? Like, I have great conversations with Liam in the most casual settings. In fact, probably better than when I purposefully try and initiate a discussion about something.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
Like you said,
myself, yeah.
being organic. The other thing that I think we do a little bit differently is that sometimes when we are in a classroom setting, I hope I can describe this. We have a tendency to want to make a point and we want to make it really, really effectively. And I think that with our kids, we sometimes recognize, especially because we understand their personalities really well. Like, actually, let me put a pin in what I was just saying and say, do you talk differently to different kids in your family? Like, do you try and teach them differently? Like, do you know their personality
yeah,
well enough?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not
saying yeah, yeah, place. Yeah.
Do you see what I'm
saying? Yeah, I do. Yes. Yeah. I mean, because of their life circumstances, because of where they are in their development, I'm not going to teach them all the same by any means.
Right. Okay. So hold on to that point now and come back to the idea that, you know, I think that we sometimes are in a classroom, feel like we have this point that we want to make. And with our kids in a parenting role, we're like, is the best way for me to make this point to have it be me that makes the point? Or is there a better way?
Right.
What's
maybe
the better
for
way?
For them to discover the point themselves.
Okay.
Right.
So think about how we teach differently if we are helping our kids discover a point for themselves versus spoon feeding them the points.
Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. is what we often do in a classroom. We're spoon feeding mm-hmm. them the point mm-hmm. versus giving them the opportunity and slowing down enough and leading a discussion enough. Not that you're being manipulative and like withholding information so that they will come up with it themselves, but rather that you're walking a path with them of self-discovery.
Right.
Which is a very different way of teaching than traditional mm. teaching. Mm-hmm. It is a more fatherly or motherly
right.
way of teaching.
Right.
Right.
I
so
think that,
any thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I think that I do this all the time and I forget, but, and we've kind of had this discussion in previous episodes, but the teaching can go on beyond the classroom, beyond that hour that we spend with them. And I'm not talking about necessarily, hey, I mean, you can reach out to them and text them, like you said, texting them or, yeah. you know, going to the games or, you know, all those traditional things where you think of, but also I almost see teaching in a class, setting up experiences for them to go have the next week or the next 2 weeks.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit. And I mean, that's hard to do, right? That's
it is.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
But when you're setting it up, part of what you're doing, if you're setting up an experience and you're inviting them to have an experience is kind of what the role of a teacher
yeah.
would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're even removing obstacles so that they can have this experience by, you know, giving them a little reminder, or giving them a this, whatever, then you also have the responsibility to follow up, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
on that. Whoa, sorry, I just knocked something in front of me. And I think that with our kids, sometimes we're a little bit more inclined to be like, hey, did you whatever in a naggy way.
Right.
But we would never, we'd be super sensitive about that with our class. I don't want to nag. I don't want to. So there's one time when maybe we need to be a little bit
opposite.
More like we would in a classroom with our kids. Flip, flip. So you brought up something else. It also made me think about the idea that you often have to watch and observe and coach slowly with your kids versus efficiently. And that's a different type of teaching also. One of the things that I thought a little bit about is the idea, do you, tell me if you do this with your kids. Like, actually, I know that you do because of the way that you framed some of your Come Follow Me stuff and how you've talked about it, that you encourage them to think about things, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how do we do that with our kids? Like, what are some ways that we encourage them to think deeper about things?
Well, right off the top of my head, it would be through questions. I always default to that naturally,
but
I think.
I love it.
Right? And leave, right. And but don't answer the questions, and make the questions, create the questions in such a way that they cannot be answered right there, that they have to stick around in the head, that they can maybe only be answered through experiences. I don't want to say it forces, but it almost, for them to answer it, they need to go experience and try out what you're talking about or discover or whatever it may be, so that they can come back and explain to you their new understanding.
Right. Right. And so when you say ask them questions, I thought of one thing. So with Liam, I sometimes get resistance when he thinks that I'm asking a question that I already know the answer to.
I do. I get that too. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So part of that in a fatherly or motherly role is you know that about your kids. So like, why would you ask questions that you know that they know you know the answer to in a classroom setting? Like, you got to think harder about your questions.
Yeah.
So that you are like having an honest, authentic, connecting discussion with them.
Right. But so when you say that you already know the answer to, maybe you should start asking questions that you don't know the answer to.
That's kind of what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
A little bit,
okay.
Right?
Yeah. Because if you were to ask explanatory questions where they say, okay, well, what is this? Well, let me go do some research and I'll find out. No, that's not the kind of stuff we're talking about. The kind of stuff I think we're talking about is more along the lines of, how does this make you feel? Or what would you learn from this? Right? You can't tell them what they're going to learn from that. You don't know that.
No.
They need to go experience that thing and report back to you and say, this is what I learned. So you're not going to know the answers necessarily.
Another example of a question like that is, have you ever had an experience with this?
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily know. You know, have you ever had an experience that reinforced this principle? Like, and maybe, like, I don't know if I have. You know, I can't think of one. You know what I mean? Like, even if you can't think of one yourself, doesn't mean you shouldn't ask the question. I like the idea of not, like, in a fatherly or motherly role, you are working so hard on the relationship that you are trying to, you know, connect, like authentically connect. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a little
bit
of a different way of thinking about that.
That's a great, I love that, Julie, because I think that just delineated for me the difference between teaching a class and teaching children. When I teach my children, my primary focus is on my relationship with them. That's not what it is when I'm teaching a class. Maybe I should be.
Right.
Maybe I should be teaching like that, but my primary focus is on the information or having challenging them in some way to come closer to their savior or whatever it is, but it isn't necessarily on my relationship with them.
Right.
And feeling connected with them, because I think them, and let me just say this at the same time. There, I think there are ways that we can go overboard in that when we teach.
Oh,
right.
For sure.
And
for
so sure. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about to the point where I feel deeply for these people and I want to have a great relationship, because the more that we can have a great relationship, the more deep we can be in our discussions, the deeper we can dive into the gospel and we can be more authentic in our conversations rather than having a connection because, you know what, I want you to think that I'm the coolest adult out here.
Right, right,
right? Exactly. That's not what I'm talking about.
No. And what you're saying, like, this is what kind of struck me, is the idea that when you think about teaching from a fatherly role, you think more about the relationship.
Yeah.
And you think more about the their growth and their, and so yeah. You're willing to get out of the way more. Like, think about how one of the things that I hate about myself is that I'm a highly anxious person. And so when my kids, you know, start driving, for example, I'm like, I need something to keep track of where they are. I want to know what's going on, make sure. And I get a little bit kind of paranoid. And then there have been things where Liam's like, I want to go do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's way beyond what I'm comfortable with. And I have to be like, You've got to learn how to drive in the snow at some point. I can't shelter you from that your entire life. And it freaks me out. You know, oh, you're going to go to a concert by yourself. You are an adult. And oh, now he's driving to Portland every single day to work in Portland. And, you know, it's like not a super great place. And I'm
that's
like,
big boy stuff right there.
Like all this big boy stuff. And I'm willing to get out of his way, because I recognize the importance of the growth that comes from it. And I think that sometimes as a teacher, we see ourselves as needing to have all the answers. So we actually get in the way sometimes.
On purpose, yeah.
On purpose, because of that learning, where if we looked at it as more of a fatherly or a mentoring role, we would get out of the way more often. And like, lead me, guide me, walk beside me, like kind of walk a path of experience with them and be more patient if it takes more time. Do you see what I'm describing?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a little bit different. Let me keep going through this. I wrote down some notes. Here's another thing. I think that sometimes we want to solve people's problems, especially when they ask a question in class.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. We want to give them the answer.
I think exactly. We feel like that's our role. But as a parent, sometimes your role is to process through things with your kids. It's not to give them the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think that thinking of it in more of a fatherly, motherly way, invested in the relationship way, you're going to be more willing to actually just dialogue about stuff, to process through things, to let them make mistakes in how they articulate it, not feeling like you need a correct doctrine or whatever it is. Or, oh, I don't know. Okay, let's go back to what the scriptures say every single time. Instead, let people process through things. And that's kind of a difference if you're coming from more of a fatherly, motherly perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But then again, the time constraint piece of that I mentally keep running into, right? I think you could do it. What was that?
Yeah. Here's the thought. Why can't you take it offline?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that I think is really, that was a really valuable thing for me. I had students in that adult religion class that would send me a Facebook message and be like, okay, help me process through this, or ask me a question and then we'd text about it all week. Or like, why that's can't great. You take those things offline? Like, encourage that, show them that you're not afraid of the hard questions and the introspection, like that you yourself are willing to be introspective and welcome their introspective thoughts in dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a different way of looking at your role as a teacher, right?
Right. And, but you know, you didn't give birth to them. So that's,
no,
that's one thing you didn't. And I think that's part of it is you haven't with the people that you teach in church, you haven't given birth. You haven't raised them. You haven't gone through the pain and developed that and developed that love through the pain for them. But I think at the same time, we can still have that and we can still show that. Maybe we need to go through some pain with them. I'll tell you, some of my favoritest ever teachers went through some pain with me, and we had some incredible experiences together, and they taught me a lot because they went on my pain journey with me. Or there is a group, and you know, part of the group was having pain, and we went, and I remember my uncle being a great example of this. We had these this friend group in our ward, and we were all pretty tight. And a couple of them were going through some major pain and difficulties. And my uncle said, "All right." My uncle, by the way, was my deacon's quorum teacher, my teacher's quorum teacher, my priest quorum teacher. I mean, he was with me pretty much the whole time. I mean, I don't know how it happened. And it wasn't the full time every time, but he just went along with me. And I loved that. But I remember experiences with him that we would go have all together, and he was a full part of that. And sometimes we annoyed him to no end. And I'm surprised that he stayed with us and didn't ask to quit or whatever, but he was with us, and it made a huge difference because he did take that role on with us and experienced it with us.
Yeah. I think like what you're describing, what a great story, right? First of all, like I can think of even times like Todd is really, really close to the specific group that he was the teacher's quorum advisor over, because they did really hard high adventures together and went through hard things together. Love and they it. All have nicknames and they all, do you know what I mean? And like, I, that's not going to be the case with every teaching role, I realize.
Right.
And it may just be one person that you do this for. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you are looking for opportunities to, in a way, be a mentor or be a father or mother figure where you're taking the time to step back and focus on the relationship, where you're slowing it down for them or walking a path with them, walking into a hard place with them. I really do believe that when people invite me into their challenges, it's sacred. Like that is a sacred responsibility. I consider it a privilege. And so, you know, if somebody calls me having a hard time, I don't feel burdened by that. I feel grateful and like honored.
Agreed.
And I think that as a teacher, sometimes we can have that opportunity if we make space for it. But if we just see our job as being this 1 hour that we have with them, that comes across in the way that we talk to and interact with them. Yeah. Versus if we are thinking about it a little bit more in terms of, I really want to be here for you.
Right.
Like I love the idea of, you know, let's have conversations as though we're sitting across from each other on the couch, not as though we are in a classroom.
Yeah.
It's just a different way of teaching. So I thought a little bit about this, and I thought, well, two things. First of all, do we see Christ model this in his teaching? Like this fatherly or motherly way of going about it. So let me be clear about some of the things that we've talked about so that we can then look in the scriptures for maybe examples of this, right?
Good.
Do we see where Christ isn't focused on efficiency? Where he is focused on giving them an experience with something, where he's trying to lead them to an answer versus giving them the answer, where he's trying to focus more on the relationship and less on what it is that he's got to deliver in terms of his message. Like, can you think of any examples that pop into your head where that was the case?
Yeah. Mary, Martha, that's the first one, right?
That's a great one.
Yeah. And it's more, And then when the Last Supper, when the woman came with the alabaster box, I believe, and anointed his
Right.
feet and washed his feet with her hair, and he was like, "We're stopping. I mean, we're in the middle. We're in the 12,
Doesn't matter.
and we're stopping, and we're gonna let this happen." Not,
Right?
excuse me, you just walked in here. You don't belong in
Potential problem.
here. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, think about if somebody brings up something in the middle of class that you can tell is painful for them. And you're like, we don't really have time to get into that right now. Versus, that is exactly where you go.
Right.
That's the
Embrace
woman.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Embrace the interruptions, right?
Right.
I mean, I even thought of, and I didn't actually think of these. I actually did a little bit of research to figure out a few because I was like, they just don't pop into my head. But one of them is, when Christ teaches with questions, you brought that up a little bit earlier. Like you ask kids, your kids, these questions that cause them to think a little bit, and you're not trying to necessarily manipulate the answer, but you're trying to get them to think more about it and discover the answer on their own. Think about Christ's question with the Good Samaritan parable. Who's your neighbor? And the way that he goes about that, he could have just said, look, your neighbor is everyone. But instead, he teaches this parable,
Right.
right?
Right.
Or, I love the verses in Matthew where Christ is asking the question, whom say ye that I am? And that's kind of like your why
Right. Yeah.
question, where
Right.
it's like, okay, but now who do you, like, this is what everybody else says. And that's great. This is what everybody else at school says, kids.
Yeah.
This is a great Sunday school answer. Awesome. But what does this mean to you? I don't give a rip about what it means to everybody else. I want to know what my kid or my student, but you,
You,
each one of
yeah.
you thinks about the answer to this question, right? So those are a
Right.
couple of kind of fatherly examples. Or, when there are times when he will step back and allow them to wrestle or struggle with something, instead of just giving them the answer when it came to the feeding of the 5,000, he doesn't just say, okay, this is what I want you to do. Here's the next step. Here's the next step. He's like, okay, here's the problem. What should we do? And allows them to come up with a solution and then magnifies the solution.
Yeah.
And I mean, similarly, we can allow our kids to come up with a solution, and we're like, that's kind of maybe not a super logical, super great solution. And let me do what I can to magnify it because it's your solution.
Right.
Versus two loaves and fish. Loaves and fish is great. I mean, whatever. I guess we'll make it work. No. Right? So sometimes my kids will come to me and I'll be like, that's kind of dumb in my mind. And I'm like, well, could we correct it? No. Let's see what we can do to make it work. Let's go with your answer, even though it might not be the best answer. Let's see if we can make it work.
Right.
It's a
And
different
how
way
many
of teaching.
times do we go, no. You know what? That won't work because of this or this. Or that's not gonna, right? And I find it real instructive that when the brother of Jared went to the Lord and said, "Okay, how do we have light?" And then the Lord said, "I don't know, how do you think?" And he said, "Well, here are these things. Will you touch them?" And the Lord made it work that way, right? He just said, he didn't say, like you said, "Yeah, stones, really? You want to lighten? There's some other ways. I mean, you can build an incandescent light bulb. Come on. You could try that."
And how, but like, think about what that might play out like in a classroom setting where you're like, that's a great idea. And what about this? And we try and like
And
give
make it
them a better
better.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not just, wow, that is awesome. And let everybody else kind of engage in how awesome that idea was.
Yeah. Because when we have the
Even
time, we're not, when we have the time, we're not as, I was going to say as interested, that's the wrong word. We're not as careful and just trying to get to the answer. We're not trying to get to the final best answer. We actually want them to go through it so that they can just, like you mentioned earlier, so they can discover the answer themselves. Yes. You mentioned Christ talking about the parable and, you know, who is my neighbor? Well, let me tell you a story. He told them a story. Yeah. He didn't, I mean, it wasn't, he could have said, right. You know, it's everyone, right? Like you said, it's yeah. everyone. No, yeah. Let me tell you a story. And then he said, yes. So who do you think now? And let him work it through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That is a more fatherly, motherly way of teaching.
There you go.
Right. So then I also loved a couple of examples about kind of having an experience with them or kind of trying to show love while guiding growth. And a couple of examples that I found are, you know, Peter's denial of Christ, you know, lovest thou me? And right after his denial, he's like, well, asking him these hard questions, you know?
Right.
Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? Like,
more than, yeah.
Do this. Feed my sheep. Same thing. Like, but he's guiding him to this. Okay, you do? Then this is what it's got to look like. Like, let's also paint the path. Like, this is a hard thing that just happened because it's on the coattails of Peter's denial. It's a hard thing, right?
Right.
And so now let me show some care and lead you to a better thing. This is what you need to focus on.
Right.
Don't focus on the fact, this denial thing. Don't focus on that. You have a work to do now. Let's move forward.
Good. Yeah.
Helping them to move forward. Okay. So there are four things that I want to leave you with as kind of my invitations to be a more fatherly or motherly teacher. Four things that you can add into your teaching. And we've talked about these pretty well, but these are just kind of patterns
good
that you can in. So the first is to ask questions. So the second, so asking questions, we've kind of gone into, we've talked about it in depth. We talked about different types of questions, right? The second is to allow for safe struggle. Like allow people to wrestle through things, make it safe psychologically and emotionally for them to process things with you. And I loved the example of the story that you gave where you kind of step into their heart with them.
Yeah.
The third is to guide self-discovery instead of being so anxious to have all the answers, be more focused on guiding self-discovery. And then the fourth is to show love and be present. Make space for them. Make space for them, even while you're in the classroom, to actually talk. Yeah. And make space for them outside of the classroom a little bit too. So those are my four suggestions that you just kind of overlay some of that into how you're teaching. And the reason that I started this and I went down this whole thing, like I said, is because I'm hoping for those types of teachers for my son as he leaves me. I don't know that I've always been that kind of teacher, even for him as my own child. And looking at it now, I feel grateful for those who have been that type of teacher. And those are the teachers that he remembers. Those are the ones that he has been reflecting on and thanking. And, you know, at this transition time, those are the ones that have made such an impact in his life. And I think that's something worth striving for. It doesn't matter what class you're teaching. It is something worth striving for. And it is more of a relationally focused type of teaching than it is an informationally focused teaching. But I'm grateful for those that have been like that for me. And I want to be more like that for others.
I agree. Will you go over number four again? What was number four?
To show love and presence.
Okay, like, number three then. Number three.
Number three was to guide self-discovery.
To guide self-discovery. That one hit me a little bit more. I need work on number four for sure. But to guide self-discovery. And I love that one.
Yeah, me too. And it's not my instinct. My instinct is to like lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not guide. Does that make sense? Like guiding versus walking. Like I think about, I want to lead the discussion. I want to lead, but no. There's a difference between leading and guiding. When you're guiding, you are walk beside. I'm quoting
That was, yeah, I picked up on what you were putting down. That was pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But when you're leading, you're in front, you're out front.
I like that. And you're saying, okay, this is the way to go. Come in. And that person is going through their own struggle almost by themselves, right? But when you're standing beside them and you're guiding them, that is a,
And
I'm with you.
self, yeah,
Yeah.
and they're
But they
figuring it
have to go
out for
through it.
themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then that goes back to your first, I think your first one. No, the second one is these having that relationship where you can have those discussions where it is open enough, right?
Yeah, mistakes are welcome.
Right.
Wrestle is welcome. So that's the allowing the struggle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, those are great ones. Okay, so here's the challenge for everyone to go do those things, go focus on that, and then come back, go to teachingrestored.com and share with us what experiences you've had that can be an experience or an example to everyone else. And I'd love to read some of those and understand, okay, how have you seen this in your life? How have you modeled this, or how have someone modeled that for you? And I think those experiences we can learn a lot from, and just reading some of those and seeing how others have done it. Because I right off the top, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I can go do this, I can go do that, kind of theoretically. But when we hear actually things that have actually happened, I think that's a different level of understanding what we can go do.
Totally agreed.
Yeah,
Totally agreed.
that's great. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope you're inspired a little bit more to go teach as a parent in a way. I like that. Thanks everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye.